Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at an article written by Brian D. Garner of the Church Correlation Department. It's titled The Good News of Repentance, and it's found in the December 2013 issue of Ensign Magazine, an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We've been going through this article pretty much paragraph by paragraph, and we're seeing some very troubling things in here. But they're really not out of the ordinary. These are things that we have seen written in other places. However, we are going through it, and we are trying to explain to you, our listeners, what does Mr. Garner really mean when he uses these words, such as repentance and commandments and things like that. Now, we're going to get into another word that needs to be defined.
Let me read on page 43 at the bottom. It is a subheading, and it says, "The Savior will be merciful."
Okay, let's stop right there.
You didn't mercy. Let me get very far there, Bill.
I'm not going to let you get very far on that one, because now we have the word mercy. Now, I think we all pretty much understand mercy. We notice from Titus 3:5 that it's according to his mercy he saved us. Mercy has been usually understood as something that is granted to someone else in an undeserving manner. You receive mercy when you don't deserve it. If you deserved it, it would no longer be considered mercy. You actually earned it. But this is a word that I think Mormon leaders really get wrong when they try to understand what mercy really is, especially in a New Testament concept. So let's look at some of the statements that Mormon leaders have given us to better understand what perhaps Mr. Garner is trying to say here when he says the Savior will be merciful.
Well, let me start off, Bill, in your book, In Their Own Words, I'm reading under mercy. The 12th President Spencer W. Kimball said this in the Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 150, "Mercy cannot rob justice. The Lord's program is unchangeable. His laws are immutable. They will not be modified. Your opinions or mine do not make any difference and do not alter the laws. Many of the world think that eventually the Lord will be merciful and give to them honor and blessings. Mercy cannot rob justice. College professors will not give you a doctorate degree for a few weeks of cursory work in the university, nor can the Lord be merciful at the expense of justice. In this program, which is infinitely greater, we will receive what we merit. Do not take any chances whatsoever." James Faust, who was in the first presidency in 2003, listen to what he says at a general conference message, and it's going to sound very similar. "Mercy will not rob justice," he said, "and the sealing power of faithful parents will only claim wayward children upon the condition of the repentance and Christ's atonement. Repentant, wayward children will enjoy salvation and all the blessings that go with it, but exaltation is much more. It must be fully earned. The question is, who will be exalted must be left to the Lord in his mercy."
That reminds me of a conversation that you and I had with an elderly lady at the St. George Temple Visitor Center.
Yep.
Remember, we were talking to her, and she was very confident that her son, although she admitted her son was not a practicing Mormon, that he was wayward, and yet she still was believing that somehow God was going to make a way where he was going to be able to spend eternity with her. As you just read, James Faust said, that is not going to happen. And how many times have we had to explain to many Latter-day Saints, when they talk about being with their families forever, the only way that could possibly happen, even if it could at all, if Mormonism is true, is every member in that family must be equally righteous.
Yep.
You must all be able to keep all the laws, keep all the commandments, repent of all your sins. In other words, all of you need to be practicing celestial law. If you have a family member who is not doing that, and just about every family member somewhere has what we call the proverbial black sheep in the family that just doesn't seem to get it, you will not be with that child in eternity. Will not happen, according to what he has just said.
And that I remember that lady, wishful thinking. She just kept saying, well, something will happen. And we said, what if he dies without? Well, then I think God will have something for him in the next life, in the life to come. Bruce R. McConkie says in The Promised Messiah, The First Coming of Christ, page 242, all must repent to be free. All must obey to gain gospel blessings. All must keep the commandments to merit mercy.
Fingernails on the proverbial chalkboard to merit mercy. Mr. McConkie, if you were alive, I tell you, I would love to just say you cannot put those two words together and make any sense whatsoever.
But please, Christian, if you're talking to a Latter-day Saint and the word mercy comes up, stop them, as Bill just stopped me, and say, what exactly does mercy mean to you? Here's Richard G. Scott in the Ensign General Conference message he gave in May 1997, page 53. He said, God's mercy pays our debts to justice when we repent and obey him, since with even our best efforts to obey his teachings, we will still fall short. Because of his grace, we will be saved after all we can do. They have to go back, Bill, and say, well, it somehow will cover, when that's not going to be enough. You have to move beyond 2 Nephi 25:23 and see what they're saying here to be able to have successful repentance. As we've been saying for these past 2 weeks, you have to stop the sin. Spencer Kimball certainly made it clear, James Faust, and then we have Bruce McConkie. A lot of people might say that's just Bruce McConkie's opinion.
Well, let me give you another one by Richard G. Scott. And mind you, Richard G. Scott is still alive. He's still a member of the LDS Church. He is still serving in the Quorum of the Twelve. He is an apostle of the Mormon Church. He said this, the demands of justice for broken law can be satisfied through mercy earned by your continued repentance and obedience to the laws of God. Such repentance and obedience are absolutely essential for the atonement to work its complete miracle in your life. So, what do we learn from this? We learn that even though the Mormon might talk about the atonement, it doesn't kick in fully unless the individual Mormon has met those requirements. And as we see from what Richard G. Scott says, it is satisfied through mercy earned by your continued repentance and obedience. So the mercy that they are talking about here in this article in the Ensign is in relation to how it is defined by these leaders that we have just cited. And now, let's say you were a Richard Mao, for instance, okay? Now, we pick on Richard Mao every once in a while because even though he was a seminary professor and should know better, he fails to allow the Mormons to define the terms. He assumes that what they are saying, it means exactly what he thinks it means.
That's exactly right.
And so if Richard Mao was to read this, for instance, he would go, see Bill? See Eric? They do believe in mercy. Because he doesn't understand what the definition of that word is to a Latter-day Saint.
Let me throw you another quote. This is from a 70. His name is Earl C. Tingey, and he had a message called The Great Plan of Happiness. This was a conference message, May 2006, page 73 of the Ensign magazine from May. He says, to gain eternal life and live in the presence of the Father and the Son, we must repent and become eligible for mercy, which will satisfy justice.
Wow, eligible for mercy.
Yeah, that's who can be eligible for mercy? It's the person who's able to stop sinning. That's what it boils down to.
And then it goes on in that first paragraph under that subheading. Read that, because we need to discuss that next paragraph.
Yeah, it says, the seeds of repentance are sown, grow, and blossom in the hope that a merciful Savior will forgive and heal us. He has promised, quote, I will have compassion upon you, end quote, D&C 64:2.
Okay. The seeds, listen, folks, listen carefully. The seeds of repentance are sown, grow, and blossom in the hope that a merciful Savior will forgive and heal us. He has promised, I will have compassion upon you. The problem I have with that, Eric, is based on what we just read, he's not going to have compassion on you if you meet these requirements. He's going to congratulate you. There is no compassion, because what is compassion? I'm going to read you the dictionary definition. Compassion is a feeling of wanting to help someone, who is, in this case, either sick, hungry, or in trouble.
And in Mormonism, you're not in trouble, you're not sick, you're not in need of help because you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps.
And that's the phrase that Spencer Kimball actually uses, that you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That certainly is much different than the mercy we understand in the New Testament, the compassion that we understand in the New Testament. I need Christ's compassion because I understand myself as a sinner worthy of condemnation. I need his compassion. I need his mercy, that undeserved mercy.
With this kind of a gospel plan, who needs a savior?
Well, that's exactly right. You're basically doing it all on your own. Now, wait, let me take that back. A Mormon would say, no, you're not doing it on your own, because in Mormonism, they do believe in grace, but what have they emphasized when it comes to grace? As David Bednar said in one of his famous sermons, it's that enabling power that what? Enables you to what? Repent and keep the commandments. That's what grace is. So yes, a Mormon does believe that they are going to receive this grace, but the grace is what enables them to do what we have just read here today.
And that's where 2 Nephi 25:23 comes in. We're saved by grace
after all we can do.
They like to quote that, as we've just seen, and it's not a good cop-out, I don't think.
No, and you'll have a lot of Mormons will try to run away from that passage, 2 Nephi 25:23, by making it appear to really mean in spite of all you can do. I know Robert Millett's notorious for this, but sorry, Mr. Millett, that's not the way church manuals interpret that passage, and it certainly is not the way that Mormon leaders have interpreted that passage. It might make Mr. Millett feel good that he interprets it that way. It might make other Mormons feel good that they interpret it that way. But certainly that can't be the interpretation in light of what we have read when it comes to mercy and repentance and commandment keeping in this article. There's no way you can really take that kind of an interpretation for 2 Nephi 25:23, even though it might make the Mormon feel better.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the Seven Churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org.
Hi, this is Bill McKeever from Mormonism Research Ministry. If you are going to be in Salt Lake City this Friday and Saturday, April 11th and 12th, I hope you will attend the Capstone Conference at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake City. This free conference includes a variety of excellent speakers on the topic of Mormonism. For complete information, visit www.capstoneconference.com. That's this Friday and Saturday, April 11th and 12th at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake City. I'll be there, and I hope you will too.